Over a period of years, I've preached some messages that I have entitled, or at least had something to do with, dreaming. Now, Kathy didn't know what I was preaching, and I didn't know what she was singing, but I've got some old messages here, and when you've been around as long as I have in one place, you sometimes have a problem finding something new, but there's nothing new under the sun. And this morning, I want us to deal a little bit about this dream that America has and that we have had, and just ask the question, is it still viable? Is the American dream, is it reality, or is it over? I believe it's a serious time of our country. I believe it's a serious time of our political life as well as our religious life. And I'm glad that religion takes over and controls all those things in our personal walk with God as a believer. That's the most important thing. But we do live in a country that God has blessed down through the ages, and we have had blessing on top of blessing. Back in 1987, a lot of times I preach series, but they're not scattered out over 25, 30 years, but I guess we could sort of call this a third of a series. Back in 1987, I preached a message entitled, Whatever Happened to the American Dream? Now, some of you may remember that. I doubt it, but sometimes messages are not too well remembered. But I just decided to think about and preach on the dream that America has, and sometimes we think about what happened to it. The American dream has been something that we hear about all of our lives, and the reason that it has gone by the wayside, I'm afraid, is because of the way that we perceive things in our personal walk with God. We've had many things happen in our nation. We've had many things happen in our world that have brought about much controversy and much turmoil to the people of the Lord. And so those things are entering into that. And then a few years later, back in 2008, that's quite a few years later, 19 years later, I preached a message on when the American dream becomes a nightmare. And you may remember that, probably don't. But anyway, I preached it, and I have the date here. Oh, pretty close to today, November the 9th, 2008. And then this morning, I received from Brother Downing an article concerning this American dream, and sort of got my thoughts once again working on this particular idea about the dream that we have had in our country. Now, first and foremost, I am a Christian. I'm glad, thank God, that one day He saved me. And He came by my house and came by my place and my life, and He touched my soul, and I became a Christian. Not because of any good thing that I might have or any work that I might perform for Him, but I became a Christian because one day He came and invited me to His place and for me to go to heaven with Him. And I'm glad that is reality, and that's not a dream, and that's not a figment of someone's imagination. That's a real happening and event in our lives as a believer. And I'm glad the Lord saved me, but I'm not only am I a Christian, I hope that we can always maintain the idea that we are a free American, that we love our country and we love what it stands for and what it has stood for down through the ages. But there's something that has happened. There's some things that are taking place that are destroying us. And this is not a political message. This is a biblical message. But I want us to think this morning concerning what is before us as a believer, and is really our dream of what America is that coming to a close, and is that coming to a halt? I have this article here, and I want to read a little bit of it. It's an article written by someone from another country, perceiving, looking on this nation. They have some good ideas, and then they have some things I don't agree with, and I'm not going to read those, but I'm going to read the things that I think they perceive and look and see some things in our country that's taking place and that's happening. The very first statement here, it says, America has long been a country of limitless possibilities. But the dream is now becoming a nightmare for many. The U.S. is now realizing just how fragile its success has become and how bitter its reality. Should the superpower not find a way out of crisis, it could spell trouble ahead for the global economy. And then he gives a story concerning a place just outside of Fort Myers, Florida. It's a place that has been designated and set aside, and it's called Apple Blossom Drive. It's a development that has been undergoing for some time. The streets are there, the sidewalks are there, the lanterns are there, the artificial streams and ponds and those things are all there, decking up the landscape is beautiful, but there's some things missing. There's no houses and there's no people, because it had to come to an abrupt halt and stop. And that has taken place in many places around our country. Many times the things that we thought would happen did not happen. It says here Florida was the finale of American dream, a promise, a symbol, an American heaven on earth, because Florida held out the prospect of spending 10, perhaps 20, and maybe even 30 years living home for decades. And hundreds of thousands of people moved into Florida, but now 58,000 people left in 2009, and the leaving continues. And in the southwest coast of Florida, 80,000 people need government assistance just for food. And so things are gone a downturn. Now, we can blame it on who we want to. We can talk about the politics of it, and all those things are involved in that. But the real fault of what's taking place in our country is that we have forgotten God. That we have left out the most important element of our reality and our substance. We have lived beyond our means. The article goes on and says to the truth that we've lived beyond our means for decades, and it was a culture long defined of entitlement and promised opportunities for while ignoring the risk, relentless and seemingly unstoppable. Upward mobility was the secular religion of the United States. Of course, secular religion means no God, because the word secular means without God. Despite all these things, we have always believed that our country has been capable of regenerating itself, and America has had a great history of doing that. But we are on the verge, whether people realize it or not or want to believe it or not, we are on the verge of economic collapse. And it's going to affect not just us, but in fact, the article says, the whole economic world community. And so we find that there's a problem on the horizon, and it's affecting what we believe or what we perceive as our country as it once was. It is affecting where we are going and what is taking place. Turn, if you would, for a moment to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 30. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 30. Then we're going to go back to the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, fifth book of the Bible. But first, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 30. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. Verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, the book of Hebrews, as I have said multiple times, everything that is written in the book of Hebrews is written to the believer. It's written to the Christian. And so when the writer of Hebrews tells us that it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God, he's not talking about the fear of dying without God. He's talking about believers falling into the hand of a God that is going to judge them because of their unrighteousness and because of their personal lack of walk with God. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Now turn back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 32. Deuteronomy chapter number 32. That's the fifth book, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Chapter number 32 and verse number 16. Here we find Moses dealing with the problem and with the sin of Israel. And he says in verse number 16, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Here we find Moses telling the people of Israel, as they are traveling through the wilderness, the problem that Israel had was that they sanctified themselves and they sacrificed unto gods that were not gods. He mentions here twice strange gods and then to new gods. And these are things that came upon the land of Israel, and therefore the Scripture says they provoked him unto jealousy with strange gods. Now God says, you have no other gods before me. And God says, I'll not share my glory with anyone, and I'll not share my power with anyone. When God is on the throne, we have to understand, we have to know that He is God. And He's not going to share His nobility and His righteousness with any other god. Anything above Him becomes an idol. And therefore, God says He was provoked because of this. I believe from the very beginning of our nation that America has and was destined for greatness. It's not because that we were such a good people. It was not because that that things were just happening. But I believe we were destined as a great country because we had founders and believers that were in the founding of our country that believed and knew who God really was and trusted Him. This statement here has been attributed to many people. Really, as I searched it out, I really can't find for sure who made the statement first. It's been repeated by many presidents. It's been repeated by many people. But the statement goes like this. I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers, and it was not there. In her fertile lands and fields and boundless forests, and it was not there. I searched for her riches and rich mines and her vast world commerce, and it was not there. In her Democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went to the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because she is good, and if America ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. End quote. I think this morning that America has been great and has obtained greatness because of her goodness. And that has come because of her knowledge of a holy and a righteous Almighty God. I believe this statement gives to us the idea that it does not matter about all other things, but it does matter about our churches. I believe the first and foremost place that we have to point blame and point finger to is the churches of America that are no longer preaching and no longer standing upon the principles of God's Word, and they've gone off into everything else rather than preaching the unadulterated Word of God. Our greatness has become known as the American dream. Maybe that is the beginning fault of what takes place, because our greatness should have been known as a great God. But it has become known as an American dream. Our country has gone through many dangers and many enemies have vowed to destroy us, but we have somehow survived. Why is that? I believe it's because we had a will to live and we had an understanding of godliness and morality. And by the way, morality comes from godliness. It comes from knowing a righteous, holy God. But something has gone strangely amiss. Something has taken place before our eyes in the last years. I preached that one message that the paper's already faded and yellow. I preached that in 1987, and it's not slowed down any since then. Something has gone strangely and strongly amiss. Our greatness has become our weakness. Our goodness has become wickedness. Our purity has become polluted. Our love has become lust. Our gold has become greed, and our government has become gluttonous. And our national debt has become deadly. I'm afraid that we have ceased to do good because we've ceased to understand who God is. This past Thursday, we celebrated Veterans Day. And thank God for our veterans. We take a day to remember the fallen. And we take that day to respect the fearless that are still standing. Standing between us and the enemy that would destroy us. America is a hated nation. America is a country that has been hated from its very inception because the devil didn't like what we were doing. You see, America was considered and concerned about others and concerned of the spreading of the gospel. The reason that many countries around this world today have a message of salvation and a message of the gospel is because somebody went to them and told them the old story of the grace of God. And therefore, God blessed us. But you know, the lines are becoming dulled and the borders are becoming gray. What do we protect? I thank God for those that still believe we're worth defending. I heard someone ask yesterday, or day before yesterday, I guess it was, they had a group of cadets there, why have you joined? And every one of them said, because we love our country. I'm glad, thank God, there are those that love our country because there are those that despise us and those that hate us. These messages that I preached years ago just continue on, and today I preach, why is the American dream maybe over? Why is it no longer existing? Why is it not there? What's the problem that's taking place? You see, a democracy, it has been said that a democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government because it only exists as the voters discover they can vote themselves gifts from the public treasury. Oh, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates promising the most benefits from the public treasury, with the results that that democracy always collapses over a physical policy always followed by a dictatorship. That's a historical account. When it comes to what is important in our country, I believe we are not improving. I do not believe we are evolving to a better state, a better nation. But year by year, I believe we lose more than we gain. Our country is on a downward slide. It's on a downward change. And if you open your eyes and ears, you'll find that it's not good for Christians, this change that's taking place. We are the hated. We are the ones, Christians. We are the ones that have the wrong message. And we are the ones that are portrayed as people that are uneducated and unlearned. We are the ones that are portrayed as someone that doesn't have understanding about physical responsibility. We are the ones that the world looks at us and say, you're just out of step. You know why? Because our thoughts and our ways get in the way of their progress. The reason that churches like this are not liked around the country is because we are in the way of their progress. The reason that Christian schools are despised is because we do not take their philosophy and their worldview that it's all working together for one. We have a different worldview. And so therefore we are hated. The average age of the world's greatest civilization, the average of it, has been about 200 years. America is about 232 or 3. I have given this statistic before, but I want to give you the sequence of events that takes place in these countries. A country goes from bondage to spiritual faith, and from spiritual faith, they go to great courage. From great courage to liberty, and from liberty to abundance, and from abundance to complacency. When we have everything that we need, we become complacent. Brother Solomon Olavi says, the worst thing that I can do is to come to America because I no longer have to pray to God for anything. It's already here. He said, in my country, most people think of going to heaven is like going to America. We have abundance. Now we've gone to complacency and from complacency to apathy. Just not caring. And from apathy to dependence. And from dependence back to bondage. America is a Christian nation, despite the statements from our president that it is no longer a Christian nation. We are a Christian nation. That does not mean that we are all Christians, but it does mean that we have the philosophy and the morality that the Bible gives to us. that tells us that we are Christian. It was Christians who first came to America for Christian purposes. When the pilgrims came to America, they came because of freedom. They wanted to worship God in their own way and their own means. And they brought with them the Scriptures. They came to America before the King James Bible was ever printed or ever came out. They brought a book that's called the Geneva Bible. And you can read that and find the Word of God given. And that's what they brought with them. It was Christians who wrote the Declaration of Independence and declared their belief in God in its preamble. And every state constitution of our great country, every state constitution has a statement concerning the Almighty. It was Christians who has given us laws based upon God's law, which is absolute truth. My Country, 'Tis of Thee was written by a Baptist preacher, Samuel Francis Smith. The Pledge of Allegiance was written in 1892 by a Baptist preacher, Francis Bellamy. John Witherspoon, a minister, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, these men are all men that love God and serve God. Oh, we might not agree with all their tenets and all their ways, but they believed God and wanted God's blessings upon this new country. How many times America has called for its people to pray in times of national emergency? The modernists hate that. But we still give homage to prayer. It is America that claims one nation under God in its slogan. And our Constitution ends with the words, "In the year of our Lord." America inaugurates its president with a hand on the Bible and they pledge, "So help me God." America's motto put on our coins, "In God we trust," put there also by a preacher and his influence. Now, I know what we hear on the news media sort of does away with all that, but it does not change history. The middle verse of the Bible, I think this is interesting. The middle verse of the Bible is Psalm 118, verse 8. And that verse reads as this: "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." It is better to put trust in the Lord than confidence in man. So the middle two words of the whole Bible are the words, "the Lord." Isn't that interesting? That's the focal point of the Word of God, the Lord. But why is America changing? Why has things taken place the way that they have? I remember hearing Brother Melvin Sisson say time and time again, something that is done over and over and over again is finally accepted as truth. When it is continually done without question, then finally there's a generation that rises and does not question it at all because they accept it as truth. One of the great examples of this is something that is taught in every educational institution in our country that's not Christian-based. And that's the theory of evolution. It is accepted as truth because there's no one left to answer the questions. Because it has been stated and restated so many times that finally you just accept it and you go on. I've got here four or five things I believe that has brought us down because it's something that has continually been done over and over and over again. I woke up yesterday morning about 4 o'clock. And began to think on these things, and I knew it wasn't no use of going back to bed. So I just got up. And I began to think on these things that I think have bombarded us so completely that we have sort of accepted it. The first thing is that America has been scrutinized beyond limit. Now the word scrutiny means close watch. Every little thing that we do has been put under a microscope to be analyzed. And by the way, America is not perfect. And we do have our faults. We do have our sins. But America is still the greatest country that's ever been on the face of God's earth, maybe other than Israel. But we have been scrutinized. We have been examined. Every country judges us as guilty, and every person hears that over and over again, that we must be wrong and things must be bad. And we hear so much about our founding fathers and try to make light of them and make jokes about them until there's a generation that doesn't even know the truth of what takes place. And so therefore, we are on our downward trip. Even our own leadership says at times that we are the reason for the troubles around the world because of our treatment toward other people. And before long, we begin to say, well, maybe that is true. Maybe that is the case. There are those that, conspiracy theorists that say that 9/11 was a result of our own nation. I do not believe that for a moment. But you hear it enough. Somewhere down the line, somebody believes it and picks up the torch. Just remember, God is watching our every move also. And He judges according to righteousness. They may scrutinize us, and they may lie, and they may form their opinions, but it is God's opinion that really matters. It is God that makes the final destination. Not only have we been scrutinized, but we've been secularized. I know I'm using some pretty good big words, but I'll give you the definition. Secularized means God removed. Somebody says, I go to a secular college. I don't say a whole lot. It means God's been taken out. It means without God. And this is where we find our society today. No God in schools, no God in government, no God in public, no God to be mentioned. Why, don't say anything about God. You might offend someone. The Word of God is offensive to the unbeliever. The Bible says with Jesus Christ, there was division because of Him. And there still is division because of the name of our God and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. This is why we maybe are failing. Why our dream has become so blurred. And maybe it has become a nightmare. We have been secularized. Don't talk about God. Don't even say Merry Christmas. I refuse to say Happy Holidays. I think I'm going to put a button on me. I say Merry Christmas. You go to the stores, Happy Holidays. I say Merry Christmas. After Thanksgiving, now. After Thanksgiving, I don't say Happy Holidays. Merry Christmas. You know why they don't like that? Because it has C-H-R-I-S-T. And it represents the birth of C-H-R-I-S-T, who is the Savior of all those that will believe. And the ungodly society in which has control, they despise that because we're in their way of their progression. We have certainly seen God removed. We've been demonized. America, a good country. When there's an earthquake, who steps up? When there's a hurricane or a typhoon, who steps up? And when Katrina comes to here, who stepped up? Nobody. And when other national disasters take place, who steps up? Very few. We have been demonized. We've been called the great Satan. And many seem to believe it in our country. Just this week, There's a boy, I guess he's about 10 years old. He rides his bike to school every day. On the back of his bike, he flies an American flag. Anybody see this? Hear it? And so the school officials say, on school property, you don't fly the American flag. And they've got one on a 30-foot pole there in front of their school, trying to break the will. But if it had been me, I'd have flown two the next day. 10-year-old boy don't want to go to school anyway, make him go home. We have TV channels that will not even let their anchors put a flag on their lapel. Since when did the flag become an obnoxious thing to American people? But we are so interested in not offending anyone that we just let everything go. And it's about come down that we just let it go because it offends someone. The Word of God. We've been demonized. After a while, you begin to think, well, maybe we are so bad. Number four, we have been politicized. Everything now is political. You have to be a Republican or a Democrat. You've got to be on one side or the other. I believe we ought to vote according to the Word of God. I'd never do that. Well, you better get in line. I'll tell you what. I won't say this. My parents are both gone. I was telling David and some of them the other day, when my mom and dad voted, they made fun of each other. My dad was a staunch Democrat. But he'd vote. I mean, there wasn't nothing going to be but a Democrat. My mother, on the other hand, guess what? She was Republican. And they'd go vote. When they go vote, and Mom come home, she said, "Huh, I canceled yours." Those of you that know my mom understand that. And Dad didn't say a word. But I'll tell you one thing. The Republicans and the Democrats are nothing what we think they used to be. Don't even have the same resemblance of what they were. You better vote your conscience and vote the Word of God. The most important thing is righteousness. And that's not going to come by politics. And then lastly, we have been demoralized. The word demoral or demoralize means to weaken and to corrupt morals. Buddy, we've been demoralized. People have no morals. Pastors have no morals. Priests have no morals. Politicians have no morals. We have been demoralized. No morals. We live in an amoral society. There's just not any. Do whatever you think's right. If it feels good, do it. The Bible says in the book of Judges that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that's where we are. And as judges in the Old Testament brought about destruction because they did what was right in their own eyes, they're bringing destruction to America and our freedoms and our dream because we're doing what's right in our own eyes, and that's anarchy. What can we do, preacher? The Bible says in Psalms 11, verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Can America be delivered? I don't know. But I'm glad individuals can. I'm glad people can. I'm glad young men, young ladies, I'm glad little boys, little girls, I'm glad middle-aged, older, I'm glad people can be delivered by the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. Can America be saved? I'm not sure, but I'll tell you one thing. America will never be delivered without prayer. America will never be delivered without purity and leadership and legislation and lifestyle. There's no deliverance without purity. America will not be delivered unless we put the Lord first. And America will never be delivered without some preachers that'll stand. God help us to have some people that'll stand upon the Word of God. It's not popular, and it may get you thrown in jail, but you still need to stand. The possibilities are more and more all the time that the things we say can and will be held against us. I put in the bulletin this morning some things that California is proposing in their schools, and even if you say the Bible teaches this, you can be brought up on charges. Not long ago in the nation of Canada, there's a preacher in jail because he preached Romans chapter 1. So my friend, will America survive? Oh, in form and fashion probably. But I'm more interested in these little boys and girls surviving. I'm more interested in the fiber of our country and the generations that are not hearing the truth of God's Word. I know we are held as contemptible, we are held as scum. It does not change the truth of God's Word. And may we stand long and true, and may the American dream be reality for us. And the dream that we have is that our boys and girls hear the Lord Jesus Christ and become Christians. And when we die, and when they die, and we all die, that one day we shall go to heaven. The latest survey in our country, when asked people, I think there was 100 people asked, do you believe you'll go to heaven when you die? 98% said yes. My friend, if there's 98% Christian in this country, our country ought to be different than it is. Just because we believe we're going to heaven doesn't mean. Well, I believe in God. Well, so does the devil. Well, I believe in the Lord. So does the world. But I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just lip service, not just head knowledge, but a relationship that you have believed and trusted in the Lord of glory. That's the only way that the dream stays alive for the child of God to be a believer. Let's stand together this morning.